Hello, hello. Welcome to the show. I'm Joy Dooling, and you are listening to the Joy of Membership podcast. This podcast is for membership leaders. So we talk about strategies for attracting, engaging, and retaining members. But that's not entirely the focus of the show, because let's be honest here, there is no shortage of advice out there on best practices in membership. What we need to talk about is how to actually make those things possible in the real world, how to be absolutely sure that growth practices are going to stick, how to make those things easier, more consistent, and even automatic in some cases. Sound good? Then stick around because we're about to jump into it. Hey there, Joy Dooling here, host of the Joy of Membership podcast. Welcome to this week's episode. Are you looking for an easy way to say thank you to members for the holidays this year? Or maybe you'd like to send something special when a new member joins this quarter? It does not have to be expensive or difficult to show members that you're glad they've become part of your community. I've just released a new digital care package that I think you'll love because I personally curated the perfect content for this season of gratitude and giving. You can find the care package and place your order at joyofmembership.com/care package. Michelle Clancy is Marketing and Operations Manager at the Pennsylvania Association of Intermediate Units. What is an Association of Intermediate Units? Michelle will explain in this week's episode. She'll also share how the work that she's done to upgrade the technology systems that PAIU uses has helped the association better serve members. This episode is the second in the special four-part content collaboration that I'm doing with Alex Sirota from New Path Consulting. If you missed last week's interview with Alex, be sure to hop back and take a listen as we talked all about what it takes to grow in the digital age. While Michelle came into her role with her association from a marketing perspective, technology has become a very big part of what she needs in order to do her job really well. I think you'll enjoy hearing about her experience, so let's hop on into that interview now. Hey, Michelle, welcome to the podcast. I'm so glad you could make it today. Why don't you start by telling us a little bit about yourself, your organization, and who you help?
My name is Michelle, and I am the Marketing and Operations Manager for the Pennsylvania Association of Intermediate Units. We are located right outside the Pennsylvania Capitol, outside of Harrisburg. And every year, more than 175,000 students and 50,000 educators receive services from one of Pennsylvania's 29 intermediate units, also referred to as IUs. As public regional educational service agencies, intermediate units provide educational, administrative, and technology services to the Commonwealth's 500 school districts, 170 charter schools, and 3,000 non-public school districts. We were founded in 1971 by the Pennsylvania General Assembly, and IUs were created to serve as a liaison between local schools and the Pennsylvania Department of Education. A lot of the services that we provide revolve around special education services through the intermediate units to school districts and the other school entities that I mentioned before.
So you and I met through Alex Sirota, who was recently on the podcast. And when I asked him for some examples of organizations that he felt were doing some really great things in terms of steering toward growth in the digital age, you were one of the first names that sprang to his mind. So can you share a little bit about what your organization's experience has been around growing in the digital age? How'd you tackle this problem?
It started with needing to update our website. Our website was on an old platform, and frankly, we were not even the host of our own website. Because we're such a small organization, we've had to work in cooperation with our member intermediate units to provide some services to us. So what we did was we did some research to not only find a new website, but also we do monthly meetings with our board, and it's the 29 intermediate unit executive directors. We offer trainings for aspiring leaders and people that are moving up the ranks in their intermediate unit. And we also hold an annual conference that has approximately 300 to 350 attendees. A lot of what we were doing was piecemeal and variety of different ways that we would manage. For instance, a big part of that was meeting management and conference management. Another component of our organization is what we call job-alike groups. There are people that have the same jobs within the 29 intermediate unit members that we have. So for instance, all the special education directors will meet, all the business managers from all the IUs meet, the technology people all meet, and they didn't really have a website to go to for resources. We also would publish a paper directory that was done in Word, and we would send that out to everybody, but no real way for people to access a member directory. And within our 29 intermediate units, we have a total of about over 500 staff members who are members of our organization through their intermediate unit. So even just an online member tool that provided an online directory that people could access, we didn't have a database. So ultimately, we came to find out about Wild Apricot and narrowed it down to that being the one that we chose as an association management platform. It was more encompassing than just updating our website. And we found that that's what we were able to get for a reasonable price for an organization like ours, because just to update our website alone was going to cost thousands and thousands of dollars. And all that was going to get us was the website. I don't know what the functionality would have been for meeting management. The other aspect of Wild Apricot is the financial aspect of being able to interface with QuickBooks, with our bookkeeping system to do invoicing. Again, that was another separate function. So we made the decision on Wild Apricot and Personify. We became aware of NewPath, which has been a huge blessing to us, because we're a small organization. We don't have the resources of our own dedicated IT staff, our own people that could do the graphic design, even just the creation of what we called our legacy data. And honestly, that was a very big part of what I was involved in, is was working with somebody from NewPath who was extremely helpful for someone like me who navigating spreadsheets. That's the way we stored a lot of our data. It was in just a variety of spreadsheets. They were all over the place. They weren't even necessarily all on our shared drive. So as an organization, it was so inefficient just internally, but then even in communicating externally with our stakeholders. That's actually another piece of this whole puzzle, is our ability to communicate with our members. That's another piece of the association management spectrum. And that was us using Constant Contact, not having a database of people to contact to even do mailings. Again, we were working with different spreadsheets for Constant Contact. So what was amazing about this whole process was working with NewPath to figure out basically, I guess, what they used to call the architecture of what we wanted our database to look like and how we wanted the data structured, and then helping us to create the master import file. That was the big giant project that took us several months, but with just huge support from NewPath to be able to put that together. It's a daunting task. And ultimately, we have about 1,500 contacts, and we have the subscription that allows for up to 2,000 with our particular plan. So that was a really big deal, because our membership is interesting the way we invoice dues. The year that we set up the database was not when we were planning to do our annual dues invoicing through Wild Apricot, but we set up all the fields so that it would capture all of the data. And then we set it up for each of our 29 intermediate units. None of the dues are the same. So that is different than other membership organizations. And then those job-alike groups that I mentioned, they have separate dues categories, and those vary by every IU. So we worked with NeuPath to create a database that captured all of that invoicing data. It's not just names and addresses and billing contacts. There was a lot of particular information for our members that applied to us, and they helped us put together membership levels to capture that. So for the first time this year in September, I was able to do our dues invoicing through our database. And it was wonderful because it was so much easier than generating paper invoices. We generated the invoices based on the data that I had input into the system. And then it generates an invoice and you email it to the people who need to get it. That was another thing, just mailing them out in the US mail, not sure if they're getting to the right person. That's been one aspect of, I would say, that's been just really in terms of creating efficiencies and running a small association with what is offered through Wild Apricot and Personify for the price that they offer it at in terms of a monthly subscription, all around has been really a win-win for everybody.
So Michelle, as you've been talking, I've had this image in my head of an onion and you're just like peeling back a layer, and peeling back a layer, and peeling back a layer. That had to be quite an experience in terms of just planning the technological shift. And I know I've seen that even with my own clients, that time that you spend kind of planning the transition makes such a big difference, especially when you're talking about a database, because that gets complicated very quickly.
Oh yeah, I don't have an IT background. I mean, my teenage sons laugh at me because I am definitely not an IT person. My degree is in marketing. So it was invaluable to really have the expertise of the IT person that we worked with to set up that legacy data and create this master import file. That was huge. I mean, honestly, I didn't really even know my way around the database that well. So this was a really big deal to have somebody with that kind of expertise to help you. Of course, like I said, a small organization, we don't have that expertise. And like you said, it's such a critical part of it is those beginning stages. It's not just gathering your data. It's figuring out how you want it to look and how you want to interface with it and what buckets each piece of data go into. So it was really super helpful to have them on board.
So I imagine you learned a lot from the process. Was there anything in particular that really stood out to you as a surprise, like something that you weren't expecting from the process?
Well, I did learn a lot about databases and really how robust they can be from a reporting standpoint. Once that data is in there, it's wonderful to be able to access it in a way that you can sort it and you can report on it. The other thing I found, which is really important, especially when we're doing like mailings and things like that, is garbage in, garbage out. So it's been super important. One of the things that I've learned is just the importance of keeping that database up to date. And that's my job now that it's set up. My job is to keep it up to date. And I'm one of those people that it's just my personality. My kids always laugh when they come home with forms because it's like, we know how much you love filling out every blank of every form. So for me, it's a challenge sometimes when we get bounce backs from a mailing to be able to figure out, oh, Google them. Oh, I find their LinkedIn profile. Where did they go? What's their new email address and their contact information? So it's actually fun for me, but keeping that data clean is obviously very important, especially with the ability to do good mailings. And the nice thing about Wild Apricot is on your dashboard, it gives you a lot of data and feedback on your mailing. If anything gets bounced back, I get that feedback. And so then I can go in there and figure out which emails didn't go through and why, and then update the record in the database and then resend all those bounce backs. So it's been great to have that all consolidated into one platform.
Oh, Michelle, every association needs someone who thinks like you and finds that to be fun.
I know I'm weird. I'm one of those people that finds it fun.
No, it's wonderful. It's absolutely wonderful. So what do you think that other organizations can learn from your experience? What are the lessons or takeaways?
I would say one of the big things is it's an overwhelming task in the beginning, and certainly depending on how large your organization is, that might prevent people from wanting to pull the trigger. Like, I don't really know that we're going to have time to do this. It's a lot of work. But I would say ultimately, the biggest thing is you find that the investment on the front end is absolutely to really make sure you get it right. Because you sure you can go in and change the way your database is set up, but it's just important to try to really think through all the details. Talk to each person in your organization that handles things that you don't handle. It's all about really making sure your data is being managed properly and used well. So that initial upfront investment is definitely worth it, but do some research and talk to the people that you work with, because we're all accessing the data that belongs to the organization. So just to make sure that it's being set up in a way that's useful for the people in the organization that are going to be using the data. It's a good investment on the front end, I would say.
Then just one last question. So you've spoken quite a bit about the benefits that it has created for you from an administrative standpoint. Can you talk just a bit about the difference that it has made for your members and their experience with the organization?
Yes, I do think a couple of things. From a marketing standpoint, I understand the importance of whenever you communicate with your members, a lot of times your goal is to drive them back to your website. So while the website for us as an organization wasn't the most important thing, it's an important thing in terms of functionality for your members. What we were able to do is drive them back to a website that was functional and then provided them with what we call member tools, things that they didn't really have access to before. And also if they were wanting to RSVP for a board meeting, if they were wanting to RSVP and attend a conference, they were always coming back to the same website with the same login, the, like I said earlier, the ability to access a member directory. And then what we did was we created separate web pages for each of those job alike groups. All of the executive directors that comprise our board, they have their own page. Each of those job alike groups have their own page. So we're able to make sure that the permissions and the access that each group needs is provided. In some cases, we only want them to be able to access it. But then there's general tools that everybody can access. And even from the standpoint of not even just our members, but we have a separate membership category for all of our sponsors. From a marketing standpoint, when a lot of your income comes from companies that are sponsors for your conference or whatever, being able to communicate well with them and having them have access to the website, their information is in the database. They're able to register as a sponsor and access information about sponsorship opportunities, again, all through our website. So that's been super helpful.
So my husband is actually a school district superintendent here in Illinois. So while I know that Illinois is not supported by your organization, I just wanted to say, you know, thank you for the work that you're doing support school districts there in Pennsylvania. And it's been a pleasure having you on to tell your story.
Thank you. I would say for sure that once COVID has hit, obviously, and that's not something I mentioned before, but having access to those online tools for our intermediate unit members and communicating information, because we are the liaison with the Department of Education. So we have basically been the conduit through all that has happened with COVID to get even the ability to upload documents and projects that we were working on in conjunction with the Department of Education, and the ability for them to have a central location for information and updates. I mean, as in Illinois, things are changing constantly. The Department of Education is constantly changing the platform that schools are being educated in and things like that. So definitely through COVID, we have come to understand the importance of having done this work. I guess it's been a year or two now since we did it. So that's been super helpful.
Well, it was good that you had the foresight to invest in technology.
Little did we know.
It worked out to be great timing. Thank you so much. Have a great rest of your day, Michelle. I appreciate
it. Yeah, thanks. You too. Bye-bye.
Joy here, back with a few thoughts about this week's episode. You know, most people have a love-hate relationship with technology. We love what it can do for us, but the setup and maintenance can be overwhelming, costly, and quite simply just an all-around ugh experience, especially if anything goes wonky. And yet, all of that worrisome stuff doesn't diminish the importance of having great tech in place. I thought it might make sense this week to share some of the lessons I've learned over the years as I've helped countless organizations make tech improvements with the aim of improving member experience. So the first lesson, and one that I say often to clients, is that there is no perfect software. I've seen organizations paralyze themselves by having a rigid set of requirements that is simply not possible for any software to meet. You have to flip the way you look at the software sometimes and think, how can I leverage what this tool does do instead of getting stuck on the things that it may not be able to do? The second lesson, which is kind of related to the first one, is that if you are a small organization with a small budget, maybe you are primarily a volunteer-run organization, you can't expect the software that you're going to be able to invest in to have the same level of customizations that you could have if you are a Fortune 500 company with tens of thousands of dollars to invest in technology. It's more likely that a web-based tool like a Wild Apricot for membership management or Mighty Networks for an online community is going to be what fits your budget and your tech capabilities. And that means that that software is going to have templates and widgets and gadgets and things that are built into the code where they're trying to make the software work for a wide variety of organizations, and you may not be able to get every little thing customized perfectly exactly the way you want it. Now, there are always tweaks that can be made to some things, but again, it's a matter of staying a little flexible, and when you come up against a barrier in the technology, figuring out if there is a creative workaround that can happen. The third lesson is never, ever, ever, ever lose complete control over your tech accounts, especially your organization's domain account. That's what gives you your unique address on the web. It's the yourorganization.org or, you know, whatever it is. I cannot tell you how many times I've started working with a client where they don't know how to access their domain account. Someone somewhere manages the website, manages the domain, but they have to hunt down who that is. I've even had situations where the name of the person who's listed as the contact for the domain is completely unknown to current leadership, and the contact information for that person is no longer functional. So it becomes extremely difficult to gain access to the account. That is a very risky position to be in, and it comes up a lot, especially with organizations that do rely heavily on volunteers and may not have permanent staff. The responsibility for who's going to take care of the website gets passed from person to person as committee chairs change. It is very important that you maintain control over your tech accounts. Even if you hire an external company to handle these things, you should have access to tech accounts as a backup. I've also had clients who were doing business with a tech provider who went out of business, and because the tech provider set up all the tech accounts, the organization no longer had access to those things and the company no longer existed. So they ended up having issues with being able to exert control over their own domain name, over their own website. And sometimes in those cases, you end up starting over from scratch, which is a very sad situation. So maintain control over your tech accounts, even if you outsource. And then the fourth lesson, and the final one that I'll share with you today, is that the right tech partner can save many hours of trying to figure things out for yourself. Find a partner who can show you the shortest path to what you're trying to accomplish. And that's simply smart business. I recently had a situation where a client shared with me that they had been working on a specific tech project, and I was unaware that they had been working on that. And I asked, well, did you just do this? Which would have been a 5-minute project rather than something that they invested hours into. So partner with someone who can you know, help you with the shortcuts, help you make smart investments of your time. So I could probably go on for hours upon hours on this topic, but I will stop at these four lessons about technology because truthfully, even remembering these four can help you avoid really big problems and can prevent your tech upgrades from getting stuck in the muck. Having the right technology in place is an important part of delivering an exceptional member experience. And if this is important to you, I'd like to invite you to consider hopping into the Member Experience Makeover Program in 2021. This is my signature program for diving deep into your member experience and sorting through what's working and what's not, what's valuable and what can be trimmed out. And to be frank, you want to know those things before you make big tech investments. Know what members actually want, what's going to be valuable, what can help you create an exceptional experience, and then build your tech to support that. So the makeover program is designed to allow you to move at your own pace. If you want to dive in over a weekend and binge learn a whole bunch, you can. If you just have an hour a week to devote, you can spread it out over a few weeks. Either way you approach it, you'll have access to me at built-in checkpoints all along the way. You can find full details about the program at joyofmembership.com/makeover. And on that page, there's even a little widget where you can submit questions if you want to know more about whether the program is right for you, for a member of your team, for a committee member, maybe a board member. Just ask. And let's make 2021 the best year ever for your members. Hey there, you made it all the way to the end. Bravo to you. I'm back in just one last time to remind you that there's a free one-page PDF available over at the website that shows you more than 20 ways that technology could be supporting your efforts to attract, engage, and retain more members. It's actually broken down into the stages of the member journey, so you'll know exactly where each piece fits. And everything that's on that one pager can actually be automatically done for you with software that costs less than $1,000 per year. So if you haven't already grabbed it, you can get your copy at joyofmembership.com/tech. joyofmembership.com/tech, TECH. Have a great week and I'll see you next time.